Welcome to Behind the Latch, inspiration and evidence for lactation professionals. Whether you're a new lactation consultant, a seasoned professional, continued learning is essential for staying up to date and providing evidence. I'll bring you expert interviews, research recaps, and case studies to help you refine your skills and elevate your practice. No matter where you are in your IBCLC journey, this podcast is for you. Welcome to Behind the Latch. I'm Margaret Salty, your host, and this is the Research Recap, where I review some of the articles that show up in my inbox from Google Scholar Alerts. The first paper I want to talk about today is titled Enhancing Breastfeeding Experience and Self-Efficacy in Opioid-Dependent Breastfeeding Mothers, Insights from the PERIWELL Intervention. This paper talks about an innovative model of perinatal care that aims to transform the breastfeeding experience for mothers with opioid use disorder. It's called the PERIWELL Intervention, and it's built on two powerful frameworks, the positive direction model and the TRICOR breastfeeding model. This article offers a theoretical and clinical framework for using an integrated, trauma-informed, emotion regulation-focused model to boost breastfeeding outcomes among mothers engaged in medication-assisted treatment. This paper is a theoretical and programmatic description of the PERIWELL intervention. Essentially, this is part one of a larger study. It introduces the models, the rationale, and the structure of a 12-week program designed for pregnant and postpartum people with opioid use disorder. The statistical analysis of outcomes will be shared in part two. So this intervention is specifically designed for pregnant or postpartum individuals designed with opioid use disorder, those engaged with medication-assisted treatment program, and families affected by neonatal opioid withdrawal syndrome. The program is offered virtually or in person across a variety of clinical and community-based settings. The PERIWELL intervention merges two evidence-based models. First, the positive direction model. This is a prenatal program focused on emotional regulation, education about medication assistance treatment, and neonatal assessments like eat, sleep, console, trauma screening and goal setting to boost prenatal care engagement, and reducing stigma and building maternal autonomy. The second model is the TRICARE breastfeeding model. This is a postpartum model providing lactation education and goal setting, hands-on lactation support, and self-efficacy strategies and trauma-informed care. Together, they form a 12-week structured program focused on emotional regulation, breastfeeding self-efficacy, infant care education, especially around eat, sleep, console, and NAS, and planning for safe care and sustained recovery. Each week includes screenings, education, and motivational goal setting, with topics ranging from hormones and executive function to stigma, trauma, and building breastfeeding confidence. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? First, it centers stigma reduction and trauma-informed care. Mothers with opioid use disorder face intense stigma from society and often from healthcare providers. This program aims to replace shame with support, providing them with tools to succeed both in recovery and breastfeeding. Next, it directly addresses breastfeeding self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is a core predictor of breastfeeding success, and this program makes it the centerpiece. By combining emotional regulation, trauma screening, and stepwise lactation education, it creates space for sustained breastfeeding, even in complex family systems. Third, it aligns with current Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine and American Academy of Pediatric Guidelines. The PERIWELL model supports what the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine now advocates. Breastfeeding is not contraindicated for mothers on medication-assisted treatment, and it can even reduce syndrome symptoms. The model helps mothers and providers understand these updates and feel confident in their choices. And finally, it supports continuity of care. Many opioid use programs end at delivery. PERIWELL continues into the postpartum period, ensuring that mothers are not left on their own to navigate feeding and recovery. It is likely in your work as an IBCLC, you will take care of these mothers with opioid use disorder. So knowing about these programs is going to really help to enhance your care. We can't treat all breastfeeding families the same. Those navigating recovery need tailored care, and the Perriwell intervention offers a roadmap. It's compassionate, structured, evidence-based, and flexible. Exactly what IBCLCs and healthcare teams need when working with this vulnerable population. The next paper I want to talk about today is titled, Does Ramadan Fasting Affect Breast Milk Sufficiency Perception and Maternal Functioning of Breastfeeding Mothers? This study investigates how both fasting and eating the pre-dawn meal during Ramadan affect maternal functioning and the perception of milk sufficiency. As IBCLCs, we often support families from diverse religious and cultural backgrounds, including Muslim families observing Ramadan. Understanding how fasting might affect milk supply perceptions and maternal well-being is key to providing evidence-based, culturally respectful guidance. This was an analytical cross-sectional study conducted in Turkey with 62 breastfeeding mothers during Ramadan. All participants were actively breastfeeding, had no risk of postpartum depression, and had infants not facing feeding complications or health conditions. Mothers completed standardized assessments before Ramadan, at mid-Ramadan, and at the end of Ramadan. The tools included a Barkin index of maternal functioning, the perception of insufficient milk scale, and a fasting calendar to track behaviors. So what did the researchers find? First, mothers who fasted and ate the pre-dawn meal experienced a significant increase in both milk sufficiency perception and maternal functioning between the start and end of Ramadan. Mothers who did not fast or skip the pre-dawn meal saw no meaningful change in either measure. The impact was especially strong for the pre-dawn meal consumption. Post-Ramadan mothers who ate the pre-dawn meal had significantly higher perceptions of milk sufficiency than those who skipped it. Suggests the timing and content of meals matter, not just whether fasting occurs. Also, mothers with older babies were more likely to fast, likely because their babies were less dependent on exclusive breastfeeding. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? This study carries several important key takeaways. First, fasting isn't inherently detrimental to breastfeeding, especially when paired with the pre-dawn meal. Many Muslim mothers wish to continue both breastfeeding and religious observance. This research shows that with good planning and nutritional intake, fasting can coexist with effective breastfeeding. Next, the pre-dawn meal supports maternal functioning and confidence. This acts as a nutritional buffer, providing hydration and calories to sustain maternal energy and milk production. Encouraging the pre-dawn meal may be more impactful than advising against fasting altogether. Third, perception of insufficient milk is more psychological than physiological. This aligns with what we already know. A mother's belief that her milk is inadequate is often more influential on breastfeeding behavior than actual supply. And finally, culturally sensitive support is essential. Instead of telling mothers not to fast, IBCLCs can support informed decision-making, monitor weight gain and hydration, and encourage optimal meal planning for the pre-dawn. This study offers valuable insight into how religious practices and lactation can harmonize when supported thoughtfully. As lactation professionals, we are at our best when we meet families where they are, culturally, nutritionally, and emotionally. The next paper I want to talk about today is titled Effects of a Virtual Support Program on the Knowledge of Mothers of Preterm Infants and Their Bonding. This study offers a timely and innovative solution to a growing challenge. How to support mothers of preterm infants who can't always be physically present in the NICU. Researchers in Thailand tested a virtual supportive program designed to help these mothers feel more confident, more informed, and more connected to their babies, even from a distance. This was a quasi-experimental study conducted in Thailand with 74 mothers of preterm infants admitted to the NICU or intermediate care. Mothers were matched by their baby's gestational age and split into two groups. The experimental group received a structured 7-day virtual supportive program, and the control group received routine hospital care and updates. The virtual support program combined one in-person session with videos and reflection exercises, 6 days of virtual CACT, a mobile app, daily updates, educational videos, and emotional check-ins, and live video calls where mothers could interpret their infant's cues in real time. The focus was teaching mothers how to read preterm infant cues, understand their roles, and build emotional connection. So what did the researchers find? First, knowledge improved significantly in the virtual support group, especially in understanding infant cues and maternal roles. Next, bonding scores increased. Mothers in the intervention group had lower levels of infant-focused anxiety and rejection-related feelings. And finally, emotional and appraisal support played a big role. Mothers were more confident, less anxious, and better able to respond to their baby's needs. Interestingly, this improvement occurred even though the infants in the experimental group had more complex health conditions than those in the control group. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? This study holds real-world value for IBCLCs, especially those working in NICUs or with families of preterm infants. First, you can't always increase physical access, but you can increase connection. Virtual tools offer powerful ways to keep mothers informed and emotionally present, even when they're physically apart from their babies. Next, preterm infant cues are hard to read, especially for new moms. Focused education on cue recognition boosts maternal confidence and responsiveness, improving feeding and bonding. Next, perception of bonding can shift with support. It's not just about pumping milk or holding the baby. It's about helping moms feel like mothers. And that starts with support, not proximity. And finally, this can be done anywhere. Apps, videos, and virtual coaching aren't just for high-tech hospitals. With planning, this model could be adapted to many care settings, even in rural or underserved communities. This study is a powerful reminder that bonding doesn't only happen in person. Connection, confidence, and maternal identity can be nurtured through technology if we approach it intentionally. As lactation professionals, we have an opportunity to advocate for tools like these and help every mother feel seen, supported, and capable no matter where she is. The final paper I want to talk about today is titled Motherhood Unveiled, Examining the Dynamic Relationship Between Sleep Quality and Breastfeeding Confidence in Postpartum Primiparous Women in Syria, a cross-sectional study. This cross-sectional study conducted in Syria followed 316 first-time mothers who were breastfeeding during their baby's first year. Using two validated tools, the Breastfeeding Self-Efficacy Short Scale and the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index, the researchers set out to uncover how sleep and self-efficacy intersect in the postpartum period. All participants were papyrus women, meaning they were experiencing motherhood for the first time. The data collection took place via phone interviews and online surveys and included a wide demographic cross-section of Syrian mothers ages 15 to 46. Each mother completed detailed questions about sleep, breastfeeding confidence, socioeconomic factors, and infant age and gender. So what did the researchers find? First, better sleep equals higher breastfeeding confidence. The most important finding was a statistically significant negative correlation between the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index scores and the breastfeeding self-efficacy form scores. Simply put, the better a mother slept, the more confident she felt in her ability to breastfeed. Second, older mothers had more confidence but slept worse. As maternal age increased, breastfeeding self-efficacy scores also rose, but sleep quality worsened. This suggests older mothers may have more emotional maturity or coping skills, but may also carry more responsibilities or recover less efficiently from childbirth. Third, higher education equals worse sleep. Surprisingly, mothers with higher education levels reported poorer sleep quality. Researchers hypothesized that the educated mothers may have more awareness of risks or greater expectations, which could heighten anxiety and disturb sleep, especially in a setting like Syria with economic instability. Fourth, mothers of male infants slept better. This study found that mothers of male infants had slightly better sleep quality than those with female infants. The researchers speculated that infant temperament or cultural caregiving norms might play a role, but the reason remains unclear. And finally, financial security equals higher breastfeeding confidence. Mothers with greater financial resources had higher breastfeeding self-efficacy, though the correlation was weak. It still reinforces what we know. Stress about basic needs impacts a mother's capacity to focus on feeding. So why does this matter for us as lactation consultants? Well, first, sleep and lactation are biologically linked. We often talk about oxytocin and prolactin in our work, both of which are secreted during sleep. This study adds more evidence that sleep deprivation doesn't just make mothers tired. It disrupts hormonal balance and impacts milk production and feeding confidence. Second, breastfeeding self-efficacy is predictive of outcomes. This isn't just about feelings. High self-efficacy is strongly tied to duration of breastfeeding, exclusivity, and satisfaction. When we improve how mothers feel about their feeding ability, we actually improve health outcomes. Fourth, sleep counseling should be part of lactation support. We don't have to be sleep coaches to acknowledge that sleep and feeding are intertwined. Encouraging sleep hygiene, emotional support, and realistic expectations should be part of our clinical toolkit. And finally, first-time mothers need tailored support. These findings are especially relevant to IBCLC's working with new moms. These are the women most likely to struggle with confidence, and their sleep and stress levels make a huge difference in outcomes. This study from Syria reminds us that breastfeeding isn't just a biological act. It's a deeply human experience influenced by stress, sleep, self-image, and support. As IBCLCs, we have a unique opportunity to bridge clinical knowledge with holistic care, especially for first-time mothers navigating this massive life transition. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Research Recap. Please be sure to like, follow, and subscribe so I will keep showing up on your feed. And be sure to tune in next week for more research reviews. Bye, everybody. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. And check me out on social media at Margaret Salty.